I'm here till they shut us down. Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And we're happy to be back. This is, back I think it's like the fifth episode of like our mid-semester, mid-summer,
like summertime. Season and a half time?
Yeah, it's like summertime. 5.5. We're not quite season six, but like I think we've been consistently more consistent.
Consistently consistent.
Yeah, we've been.
Than we were even during the regular, than I was during the regular season.
We are a regular thing now.
Wow.
And we do this every Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m. We talk about technology, video games, reviews, history, comics, board games, card games. Things that have happened, things that are going to happen.
Things that didn't really happen.
Things that we wanted to happen, specifically tonight, that didn't happen But we're going to talk about
that
a little bit later.
Stay tuned.
What's the website?
That would be exppoints.com. Always double tap that P.
We also got a social media platform spinning them up. Facebook.com/experiencepoints, Twitter.com/exp_points, but you can follow us at exp_points. We also have a Google Plus, but it's way too long. Just go to exppoints.com, scroll all the way to the bottom of the page.
Thanks, Google.
And click on whatever. We're working on a nice snappy URL, but until then, we might just do something like exppoints.com/Google Plus.
And then that'll redirect.
Yeah, it'll just go to our Google Plus page. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's good. We also have YouTube.com/TheExpPoints channel. You can check out all the video reviews that we do. We're going to be pushing a lot more content through YouTube. We are currently hitting up via Buffer, the Buffer app. We're hitting up Facebook and Twitter and a little bit of Google Plus every now and then. So that's pretty cool. Bear, what did you do this week?
This week.
Leave what we did tonight.
Well, you know what happened
this week?
The Steam Summer Sale happened.
It ended the 28th, so a couple days ago.
So I ran out of money. And
but you survived it.
I did survive it. I bought a whole bunch of games.
Yeah.
Wanted to play Assassin's Creed Black Flag, but didn't get set up before the show because I had to make an account on, was it Uplay?
It's Uplay from Ubisoft.
Yeah. So I had to make an account on that and then had to come to the show to talk to you guys.
They are, so you know how they have that, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the something pass, like U-Pass or Play Pass or whatever.
Yeah.
So they actually abandoned that. That's funny you should say that. They abandoned or bring up Black Flag. They abandoned that whatever pass, Play Pass thing as soon as Black Flag came out. They're like, we're done. Sorry, everyone.
That's the thing that apparently happened. That and like I said, continuing to read my Echo Rising book, and that's good.
Are you liking it so far?
Yeah, it's a very interesting mix between sci-fi and, like, Lord of the Rings. Well, I think the actual back cover says, like, Game of Thrones, but that's a bit of a misnomer. It's more Lord of the Ringsy type stuff.
Okay.
The Matrix meets Lord of the Rings is what I'm going to call it.
That's nice. That's nice,
yeah,
I guess.
Pretty cool.
If you're into that reading thing.
That reading thing? Oh, man.
Cool.
Read books. Save yourself from ignorance.
I did a little bit more. This week was a lot of show related stuff. Specifically,
you actually worked on
not,
the show.
Not show.
I just nerd out all week. He does the show.
Not show specifically, but maybe more like the platform based instead of show based because it's for all of Experience Points. There's some stuff we're going to get to later in the show. Later in the show, we're going to talk about some of the new things, new additions to the Experience Points universe. But I did develop a little bit on the games. I did some tech demos.
Some are
ridiculous. I got one. I put a picture of Hillary Clinton, and this isn't to defame Hillary Clinton. It was just an image I pulled off of Google. It was like the first image I pulled.
Google stock images. They're just full of Hillary Clinton.
It was a picture of her. So I zoomed in real close on her face, and I looped it. I made it like loop around, and it's just a little platformer guy running, and you can jump on her nose, you can jump on her eyebrows, you can jump on her lips. And there's particles.
You run around. I didn't see this.
You run around on Hillary Clinton's face. And then the second one I got, there's Nicolas Cage, and I call it Cagey Bird. It's essentially Flappy Bird with Nick Cage's head.
I saw the Cagey Bird. Yeah.
So there's that, and I'm learning a lot about the engines. The droids, tech demos are not real games, though. Cagey Bird is playable. It's hard, but it's playable.
Hard but playable.
That was essentially my week.
The one other thing I did was app of the week was comics on Android. It's an app for buying. It's like Steam for your comic books.
Are we doing that now? Are you an app of the week?
Are we doing an app of the week? We just did one app of the week.
So we've set a precedence. We could maybe do it every now and then, like when we find this really awesome
find
app.
An app of the week. I'll just call it an app of the week.
I have this app. It's called Google.
So,
it's really awesome.
I really like it. It's comics. I'm trying to remember who actually published it, but I can't.
I guess you could just search for like comics, C-O-M-I-C-S, right?
Yeah, it's spelled C-O-M-I-C-S.
Like normal comics.
Like you spell comics.
Yeah.
And I really like it because, A, it syncs between devices, which should be a thing these days.
Now we have Nexus 7s. How easy is it to read comics on? You have a Nexus 5. How easy is it to read that on, say, like an Android device?
It's great. Okay, I actually found it. It's the producer is Comixology. Comixology.
Oh yeah, I've used Comixology. That's the Kickstarter for Code Monkey Save World. They use Comixology.
Those guys. Yeah. So.
They have a huge catalog.
Oh, dude, their catalog is amazing.
And it's cheap. Like, it's pretty cheap.
No.
Like, you'll spend way more.
They have fair prices, and the interface is just so well done. Yeah. It's amazing. Beats the pants off of anything that Amazon has made. And
No
pants Amazon. That's how I shop Amazon.
That's it. No pants.
That's called...
Sitting in your chair. Yep. Or standing desk if you're healthy.
If you're healthy.
If you're a healthy person.
But one cool thing, though, is you can swipe between. You can set it up in an entire page view, which is nice, like on the Nexus 7, because you have a large enough screen.
Right.
But on the Nexus 5, the screen is 2 inches smaller, and it's kind of hard to see things. So if you double tap the screen, it goes into panel mode. So it only displays one panel, and it's not always even the full panel. I haven't done any research, but I think it's set up by whoever made the comic and set it up there. And it divides in, and you can swipe left and right, and it would go through in order how you should fall down the page.
Oh,
but it's
cool.
More of a zoomed in view.
So it's like
so you kind of like look
it's like
at the
an
page
order.
Really close.
It's like you're ordered.
Right. Instead of just zooming in and like moving around, it's actually set so it goes in the proper order.
That's really cool.
And anyway, so I like it. It syncs between everything. It's great, and you spend all your money there.
Well, cool. We're gonna cut to a song, and then we're gonna come back, and we're gonna tell you what we did just right before the show. Like we just got back. It's actually very humid
pretty
outside.
Epic.
We're gonna talk about our epic quest when we come back. This is actually new stuff from I Fight Dragons off of the Near Future album. They're touring on the Vans Warped Tour with Proto Man and a few others.
So bad.
I think it's like MC Chris is on the Vans Warped Tour.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think MC Chris, Proto Man, Random or Mega Ran, and I Fight Dragons.
Man,
this is
they got really nerdy.
This was released today, I think, or I'm sorry, yesterday. It was released Tuesday. This is Pretend by I Fight Dragons, not I Fright.
I Frightened Dragons.
No, Pretend by I Fight Dragons. They put up a YouTube video featuring the video game Constant C. It's a new game that's kind of getting pitched via the video. But Pretend by I Fight Dragons. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you're listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
And we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And that was Pretend by I-Fi Dragons, new stuff off of the near future. You can pre-order that on iTunes, Amazon, I think.
Know what else is up for pre-order?
What's up?
Mandatory Fun by Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, yeah. It's this new stuff. It's his brony album, isn't it?
I don't know if it's... Has anything to do with bronies or not.
I think
he has a pony.
I know
he's a cheese sandwich in the
pony show
universe.
Oh, like yeah. in the actual show?
Yeah, yeah, no. He actually did the voice for cheese sandwich and everything. He's a competing party pony with Pinky. They have a whole episode about it.
I'm not experienced enough
in this regard. You don't have experience points in ponies?
No, that's where
you need to level up your ponies.
It's not
bro.
Like I draw the line, I just missed out. Like it's not an aversion or aversion to it. It's just I haven't done it.
Next level drop some skill points in ponies.
Oh, okay, thanks. Yeah. So, yeah, that's new stuff from the near future. You can pre-order that. We are going to talk about our epic quest tonight.
Epic quest.
So here's how I'm going to – can I go ahead and introduce this?
You're going to do an intro?
Here's what happened.
First off, I walked up to an NPC.
And I hit the use button. I'm in the station. I'm waiting for Bear to get here. He shows up. He comes in, and he starts talking about, man, this PSP Vita – or PS Vita, the new one, the 2000,
yeah,
right?
The 2000 edition.
So he comes in, and he's all excited about it.
That's how they number things.
Yeah, they do this weird number, like a four-digit, and they never do like 1001.
Oh, I just got 1, 2.
Though you know what? They did that with the PlayStation 1. It was like SCPH-1001, and then 1002, and then it was like SCPH-3000. Like, they skipped 2000, I think, maybe. Or the 2000 was like a PSX DVR. Anyway, we're getting off topic. So he comes in, he's talking about all the good stuff about the PS Vita, the new one, and I'm like, dude, I have a PS Vita, and I play like Gravity Rush and, you know, all these cool games. And if you're a PlayStation Plus member, you know, you're getting Miramasu and all those games free monthly. You're getting awesome games. And so he says, hey, you know what? We've got a little time before the show. let's go and buy a PS Vita, the new one, and I'll play it, and we'll talk about it on the show, and we'll talk about how cool it is. Now, what do you know the differences between the PS Vita like 1000 and 2000?
Pretty much. The 2000 slimmer is what PlayStation always does with things.
Yeah, they make it slimmer. They beveled. It seems like they beveled all of the edges.
I believe the screen is a little larger.
Like a touch, yeah, a little bit.
Just a smidge.
It's all black.
There's a black one and a white version.
It's all color. Whatever color it's supposed to be, the side, because like on mine, I have the 3G and the Wi-Fi model of the first version. And it's like the sides are the silver color. Front and the back
like
are
the
black.
The original PSP was.
Yeah. So the front and the back are like sandwich pieces of black, and then the outer edge rim piece is silver. But it's like still plastic.
It has an OLED screen in it.
Right. Yeah, and I think the original had that as well. Does it have any more onboard memory, or is it just kind of all external? I think they imagine they would keep the...
Yeah, I believe you still have, like, it's mostly external. You have to use Sony's stupid proprietary card.
Yeah, like it's not Magic Gate, but it might as well be Magic Gate.
Because they hate us.
So anyway, you're gonna go get this.
I'm gonna go get the 2000.
And this is where he takes over the story. This is what happens.
So yeah, we load up and we mount.
We get in the Bearmobile.
It's
a 2-seater at least.
Yeah. So I paid extra for.
You're losing a ton of weight, so you've got like your blender cup. You've got like your.
I did have. I forgot that.
You got your Do Me Right like. Yeah, blended
so I actually
meal.
Had my Ninja blender. Cup yeah. sitting in the passenger
it
seat.
It smelled like he was blending moon pies. It was awesome. And then it was bad because it had milk in it.
Because it had milk in it, yeah.
So as soon as you said there was milk in it, as soon as you sit out of the Ninja, you do it hardcore. You like just like tipping up the Ninja as you drink.
It makes a 72-ounce shake.
You don't even have the correct cup holders for that.
Nah, dude.
Okay, so anyway, we go.
So anyway, we get the Ninja. Matt smells. He's like, man, this is good. A few hours later, he's like, man, this is bad. But anyway, so I'm like, all right, we need to go to the video game store. So we go to GameStop. Guys walk in. I'm like, hey, yo. He's like, yeah, welcome. First off, I'm blinded when I walk into this GameStop.
Yeah, they have some mega bright lights.
Like, okay, start with, it's a video game store. Nerds don't like light.
Right.
I mean, I stay in my cave.
We don't like light or heat.
My screen provides the light I need to see what I'm doing in my room.
Right.
So I walk into this and like it's full blast in my face, like car lights right there. So I just talked to the guy. He's like, "Oh man, nah, sorry, we're sold out nationwide."
He was taken aback. You were like, "What do you want?" Or you know, "How can I help you today?" And you were like, "Oh, I'd like to buy a PS Vita." And he's like, "What? What? I no."
No, that's not a thing happening.
I say nay. He Lua errored right in front of us. He was like, nope. So anyway.
Yeah, so he said, nah, the GameStop sold out nationwide. This has been out since like April, May, I believe, May 6th.
Yeah, it's been out for a month and a half, give or take.
Yeah. So it's been out a little while. Sold out nationwide at all GameStops, according to this one random dude
I asked if it was sold out in Germany, and he didn't know.
He wasn't sure about the Germany.
So it could be sold out in Germany as well.
Yeah. And then we had a little discussion with a guy on like, well, why would you want a PS Vita? Because I'm a leader. She doesn't believe in
There's always that one guy, right, at the game store that's
at the game store. Because when you go to a game store, you always are going to run into that guy.
The guy that's like, he's there.
Yeah.
He's there the entire day to just kind of look at the games and play the demos and talk about why his system's better and his ideas are better. He's a guy that's like Superman's a better superhero than Batman.
Well, he is, and that's not an argument.
Well,
that we're
having. See, you're that guy anyway.
Well, no. Okay, we're gonna stop here for a second. Batman's not a superhero to start with.
He's a hero and he's pretty super.
His superpower's money, just the same as Tony Stark. So you have to take him out of the argument.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so we talked to Superman versus Batman guy, and he says the PS Vita is stupid and that the only good thing coming out for it's Monster Hunter. Yeah. Which I can agree. Monster Hunter is all. I don't agree, but Monster Hunter is awesome.
I misheard him for a second. I thought he said Monster Rancher, and I got really excited.
Monster Rancher? Oh, my God.
And then I'm like, no, the best thing about Monster Rancher was putting in CDs and seeing what you got. But how are you going to do that with a PS Vita?
Like QR codes, maybe.
Maybe. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, continuing on. So that was that. Then we sank to a low.
Yeah.
We went to Walmart.
Well, we went to Walmart at night, and it's hard because everybody is off of work at night, and they all flood into Walmart. It was pretty good for us. We got in, we got out.
We got in, we got out. Well, the reason we got in, we got out is we get in, we find the 3DSs. They have a whole display, beautiful 3DSs and 2DSs
everywhere. The XLs.
Yeah, the XLs
and then the wedges.
The wedge was there. The two X's. They had PlayStation 4s, and there was Xbox 360, Titanfall editions, and there was PS Vita games, and I couldn't find any PS Vitas.
They didn't have stickers for them.
So I finally find two employees playing with the Beats pill. And I'm like, hey, guys, what's up? And they're like, huh?
They're releasing in some Ellie Goulding.
Yeah, and they're like, huh? I'm like, yeah, so I'm looking for a PS Vita. What's that?
Yeah, they had no clue, like, what we were talking about.
So, and then they do the exact same thing we just did and go wander around the video game section.
No, this was our fault. And again, not defaming Walmart in
any
way.
Not defaming Walmart.
But these are people that are in high school, that are old enough to work but are still in high school, and people that are fresh out of high school waiting to go to college because it is the summer.
And apparently not nerdy enough to know what the PS Vita is.
Yeah, it's like they got the most unnerdy people to work in the electronics section, which is fine.
So that's the thing that happened.
So we didn't find it at Walmart.
Yeah, so we didn't find it at Walmart. We pop out of Walmart, back to the Bearmobile.
You had this great idea.
I have this wonderful idea.
Let's go to where you buy things
to
the best
nerd
way.
Nerd Haven. Yes. Yeah, like the Mecca of nerds. Best buy.
Japan? Oh.
Well, no, like the mobile Mecca.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know,
okay.
They pop up
America everywhere. Mecca.
America Mecca. So it's Best Buy.
Where the geeks have squads.
Where the geeks have squads even and drive little bugs for whatever. Anyway. So we get up there and I'm like, man, Best Buy's totally going to have it.
Yeah.
They're closed.
Yeah, they close
at 9
they
o'clock.
They have a really early bedtime, apparently.
Apparently. So
we're recording the show, so, I mean, this is Tuesday at 9.
In case you're wondering.
It's so all an illusion.
Ooh. We're actually, so, I just have on a DeLorean. It's the Bearmobile.
So we're close. Best Buy's close.
So close
to
Target. So we pop into Target for a bit, look around, find the same thing. 3DSs everywhere, PlayStation 4s, Xbox 360s, PS Vita games.
I feel like we got one step closer. We still had the associate that, like, didn't know anything, but he was geeky enough to scan.
Well, the thing, we found a sticker.
There was a sticker.
It said Borderlands 2 Edition PlayStation Vita Slim.
Had an appropriate
price. And I'm
price.
Like, it's, yeah, it had the right price, and it's here. So I finally asked a dude, maybe they're in the back or something. And so he doesn't really know what's going on, but he takes out his little computer and he scans it and goes, oh, man, says we're sold out. Also, the shelf is empty.
And
thanks, bro.
He was like, I could look and see if there are
would
any...
Would you like me to look and see if there's any available anywhere? And I'm like, well, obviously, if you have a magic computer that'll do that right now, like, if you hit a button and it'll tell me...
It's like one button. He just, like, thumb-tapped it, and he's like, oh, Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Which is a good, like, hour and a half, 2 hours
away.
It's a
two-hour drive from here, if you do it properly, Matt.
This is where we stopped.
We did. We thought about it.
This is where we took some a precautionary tale. You know, we decided that it was
we don't go to Hattiesburg.
We shouldn't go.
There's no PS Vita is not.
Is it dead home? Is that what it is?
It's pretty much dead home for me, or Raven's home.
Raven home. Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't go to Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
And then we came back to the station, and I was sad. I don't have a PlayStation.
20
now.
Minutes later, here
and
we are.
Yeah, 20 minutes. It was like an hour and 20 minutes. And I still don't have a PlayStation mobile device. My PSP is long gone and dead.
Yeah.
But I am flying away on a jet plane Thursday. So here's my plan. The epic adventure continues. They have those kiosks. You've seen them in airports where you can buy iPods and headphones.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Radio Shack in a box.
Right. Radio Shack in a box. We'll call it. Man, why does a Radio Shack have that?
We haven't gone to Radio... No, they don't have game don't things. Have, at game.
Is Radio Shack even still open?
Radio Shack's ever? Open, but like they're... Anyway.
Anyway, so I'm gonna be in Atlanta for a
Not
few hours.
Not the electronics.
And I'm going to run
for.
Around the Atlanta airport and try to see if I can find the PS Vita 2000 in a vending machine.
And you can get the white one if you can.
If I can get a white one, I can. I think these are all Japanese imports, which makes me sad.
Fly to Japan. We just need to do this.
Just go to Japan?
We just need to go to Japan. We know they're in Japan.
They're in Japan. We know they're all over Japan.
Yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, I'll give you an update on whether or not I acquire one at an airport vending machine.
All right. Well, that was our epic quest. Not so epic ending, but we felt pretty good. We were playing like the Pirates of the Caribbean, like bum 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 bum. Yeah, while we're going, but we're gonna come to a song. We're come back. And we're gonna do our retro game of the week. It's one of our favorite games ever, near and dear to our hearts. This is First Crush by Saber Pulse and Knife City. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was First Crush by Saber Pulse and Knife City. Really like Saber Pulse. I don't know if it's one guy. I think it's one guy, but they have a lot of really awesome stuff that comes out. He has a lot of really awesome stuff that comes out.
Stuff and things.
So we've got
Retro game.
We've got our retro game. And you know what? This retro game hails all the way back from 1998, which doesn't seem so retro because, like, you know, maybe some people... I can't imagine
it's
anyone...
It's kind of a godfather for modern first-person shooters, though.
Yeah,
it kind of set the standard. Rose the bar.
I feel that's a good one. I feel like before this game came out, Quake was it.
But then this came out.
This came out.
Had breakable crates.
This came out, and it was actually built, and this is a little bit past this. This was actually built on top of the Quake engine and had some changes. But this was actually built using the ID Tech 2 engine, which was for Quake. And it outdid Quake in so many ways. It largely redefined or helped define the first-person shooter genre.
With a story,
With a quiet character. And actually, you know, our section later in the show after our retro game is immersive games, and this is one of the best immersive, especially the Half-Life 2. I feel like Half-Life 2 was more immersive.
I think you just gave away the game.
I did. Yeah. So it's Half-Life 1.
Half-Life is the game.
Yeah. So you take on the role of Gordon Freeman, Doctor Freeman. He's a physicist.
Welcome to the test chamber, Mr. Freeman.
Everything about this game.
You know,
there are some parts in this game, gameplay wise, that seem arbitrary and contrived. But I feel like that's just a sign of the times.
Yeah.
But the villain. The infamous G-Man.
Is he really a villain though? Or are we sure?
He may be the administrator of things. You know.
Yeah.
At
this point in the series, I kind of like to see him as.
He may actually just be God. He could just be checking in on things.
Yeah,
he could be. He could be just kind of moving the pawns around, yeah. Moving the knights around. So
those aliens did seem to have power over him. Spoilers, blah.
Yeah.
Words.
So Half-Life came out in November 19th, 1998. It's a first-person shooter. You take on the role of a mute character, Dr. Gordon Freeman, who aided with a crowbar and an HEV suit, which is a hazardous environment suit. Unfortunately, sort of bring about the apocalypse via science.
I mean, you did push that one artifact,
like Zen crystal,
into the little laser beam.
The rotors. The rotors.
That's what a rotor is. Come on, Matt.
Yeah, so you do this. You're just in a test chamber. You're doing some science, and then boom! All of a sudden, aliens show up. At this Black Mesa. I don't know where
was it. You call it a resonance cascade. Is what they call it.
Yeah, yeah. Effectively, all these aliens
pop
in.
Different universes, times, periods pop into our universe.
The Black Mesa science facility is under attack, and the military gets involved and decides to just mop the place up because it's better to just...
Yeah, in the middle of the desert, civilians don't need to know about this. Yep. Let's just... Well, the thing is, again, we're giving away all kinds of spoilers if you're actually interested.
But the game's been out for over 10 years.
I'll give you that. It's a retro game.
Actually, it's been over...
At least a third of the game, you're trying to... You hear the military is there, and you're trying to get to the surface and get to the military.
Right, you're trying to get saved.
But then you get close and realize they're killing off all the scientists.
Right.
So then the game kind of changes, and you're trying to survive, killing military, killing aliens, trying to get out of there.
This game, this isn't just our feelings about the game, you know. I'm sorry, we're not just saying our feelings just because that's the way we feel them. They just happen to be how most people feel. Half-Life as a series specifically, but Half-Life 1 was one of those games that the story was awesome. The chapters... It introduced chapters instead of levels. It was very physics-based. Yeah. And the physics engine has been remade. They've remade into the Source engine. They've remade the game with the Source engine. And most recently, you keep mentioning Black Mesa.
Black Mesa Project. If you want to play it, I really suggest... Black Mesa Project's a mod made by a third party based off the Half-Life 1 game.
It doesn't change much.
It changes significant portions, but... I would play that to get the story.
Today.
That being said... Playing the OG vanilla Half-Life 1 is probably still worth your time.
Yeah, I don't think anything in the game is so bad that it warrants you to play Black Mesa over that.
Right.
If nothing else,
for science.
If you specifically care about graphics, because I believe Black Mesa uses Half-Life 2, Episode 1, Episode 2.
Instead of just porting everything over, they actually built it in the Half-Life 2 engine from the ground up.
Right.
So it looks really nice.
This game wasn't just about Half-Life 1. It was about sort of a three-piece ode to Half-Life. Half-Life 1 came out. You played Dr. Gordon Freeman. You saw all of these events taking place. But then,
speaking of the immersion, this is what I liked about it.
This was what games used to do. This is I only know that this game did it this way, this well.
This is the one that I think of every time.
I
love it.
You had the three-game kind of trilogy, but it was like a triangle. It was like a love triangle.
But the time period is all the same.
It's all the exact same. So you had Opposing Force, where you played Adrian Shepard, which was a Marine corporal.
Yeah. Who was the military that was coming in to wipe out.
He was sent in to kill the scientists. And you did, after a while. You killed scientists.
Yeah, you killed some scientists, killed some aliens, because...
Or maybe you never actually shot a scientist.
I don't recall.
I don't think you did.
Did you not shoot?
You ended up turning and kind of just bringing scientists. Maybe that was a thing. Like, you went in. I can't really remember. You went in and
I know you eventually start saving scientists.
Maybe you didn't get the radio to kill them, or you made a conscious decision not to. You were silent. So
it's been a while since I played. So
and then there was Blue Shift, where you played Barney Calhoun. As a security guard.
Barney.
So it was kind of like both sides. Orange was the HEV, the science, the Gordon Freeman. Yeah. Blue was the security guard, the civilian, and the scientist, and the official, and the authority. And then you had green, which was, you were military. So you had to make these decisions, and it existed all in one very cohesive, very easy to partake in universe.
And what was really cool is did it very well, because if you pay attention, you see the other characters at different points during each game.
Right, right.
Yeah, like Barney's stuck outside in the monorail
first segment. And you can actually see it at both sections of the game. If you play Blue Shift and you look behind you,
you
can see Gordon riding the tram.
By.
If you're Gordon in the tram, you can see Barney banging
Which
on the
is
door.
Just cool, I don't know. But no, I really love that, because it revisits the same story, but from different people's perspectives. And it really changes up how you view what's happening.
Right. Now, this originally came out for PC, and it was later released for Linux, for OS X, and for PlayStation 2. My favorite port, though, was Half-Life for the Dreamcast, because and the Half-Life, I believe, for PlayStation 2 did this as well, but the Dreamcast version had yet another part of the game. It was Half-Life Decay. Which was a co-op version where you and another player, and you could play both sides, you could switch it up, but it was a puzzle game. It was in the Gold Source engine, the original Half-Life 1 engine, but you played characters that helped the very beginning of the game go off. So while Gordon Freeman's going around getting his stuff together, these other two
characters... Because there were other scientists like you in HEV suits
right.
at other parts of the facility.
Right.
Spoilers again, you find out that at the very end when you pass up the two characters from Decay.
Right. You...
Dead.
You have all of
spoilers.
The...
Spoilers. Dead. They're dead, Jim. Spoiler.
It's just so, so great. The cohesiveness, the connectivity, everything about the game. And I believe this being...
about your sanity and reality.
I think this was one of the first games that I actually got to play fully. Now, one of the first games was Marathon, like 3D or modernized games was Marathon, which is also another really awesome immersive game. We'll talk about it later. But Half-Life was the first one that I remember going to the store. It was Game Trader in the Mall of Hammond. Going to the store, seeing the box.
I think that's where I bought mine, actually.
Seeing the box. Seeing the big box with all five. It had Counter-Strike 1.6. Mm-hmm. It had Team Fortress Classic.
Yep.
And it had the three games, Opposing Force, Half-Life 1, Opposing Force, and Blue Shift. And you bought those, and you had five CDs, and it was awesome. I still have the five CDs.
Oh, wow. I don't know where mine are. I put the code in when Steam came out, and it gave me the digital copy, so I lost the CDs.
So, yeah, this was really, really, really great. Now, it spawned a lot of sequels. They did this episodic thing where Half-Life 2 came out.
They tried to do episodes, and I was really excited about that, but no developer did sequels properly.
No.
Or not sequels, but episodes, excuse me.
No, Sin's Emergence died on the vine, and I really liked that.
Not just for the side boob.
From whatever her face was, the like villainous...
whatever the villainous person was.
Electra. I think her name was Electra.
I believe you're actually right.
Anyway, yeah, so they had Half-Life 2, which was fantastic. If you haven't played...
Yeah, Half-Life 2, and then Half-Life 2, Episode 1.
If you have to play any of them, Half-Life 2 isn't bad to just jump into.
You can jump into Half-Life 2 because it takes place years after the events of Half-Life 1.
Right.
And it's a completely... The world's been changed.
I wouldn't say jump into Half-Life episode or Half-Life 2 episode 1
or 2
without...
Well, no, because that takes place immediately following the events of Half-Life 1.
And I believe they're all kind of they're all kind of connected. I think you can bundle them.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of cohesion there.
I meant actually in Steam. Like, you pay one price, I think you get the...
I'm sure Gabe has a sale for it. Yeah. Just wait a few days.
And the running joke now is that, you know, Half-Life 3, what happens at the end of Half-Life 2 Episode 2 is kind of big. We're not going to talk about that.
Are you talking about that? That's not old enough to spoil?
No. But anyway, so Half-Life 3 or Half-Life 2 Episode 3 has not been released, has not been, you know, announced anything. So that's the running joke. But
that Gabe can't count to 3.
So that is
Half-Life.
That is Half-Life. That's a retro game.
Yeah,
if you haven't played it,
all the way up to the current Half-Life version.
If you haven't played it, do it. We might do that. We might make a.
No, I wish that they would go through Half-Life 2 and do like a blue shift, and maybe you play as a Combine.
Yeah.
And I'd love to play as Barney again because he disappears for most of the game. I don't know why Gabe hasn't done that.
Yeah, Barney goes away.
He comes back with like these refugees. He's like, "Sup?"
Yeah, I got these guys.
What happened in all that time?
You know, it's kind of weird that they haven't had like some kind of fan made party mod or whatever, third party mod.
Well, I mean, that's always the point. You're a developer. I'm a developer. It always goes, "Yeah, you know, it'd be really cool if we made this thing. Yeah, that'd be really cool."
That's where it stops. Yeah. Well, we're gonna go to a song and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about some immersive games. We got a list of them. We're gonna go through them and then we're gonna end the show, I guess, in like 20 minutes. I don't know. We're not looking at a timer, so we might be going long. This is Magnet Mang by Arm Cannon. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And this is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was Magnet Mang by Arm Cannon. We're going to talk about some video games.
That's what we do. We just did one of the things we do.
Our retro game was Half-Life, so we talked a lot about Half-Life just now, how much we love it, how much we really, really, really love it.
Really. And we kind of hinted at this section about immersion in video games.
Yeah, so immersion.
How immersive that game was.
Immersion can sort of be described as how well a game's atmosphere draws you in,
as a player.
When you hear atmospheric
into
games,
the world.
Right. So you can't break the fourth wall too much. You know, you can have tongue-in-cheek humor. You can have all this stuff, but it has to feel real. It has
make
to
make you forget your reality and exist in this world.
Right. It's like a game that
just
doesn't
like a
need,
good book.
A game that doesn't need the Oculus Rift to get you into the game. We have a couple games. We're going to start going over them right now. We're not going to give you any facts about it. We're just going to talk about our feelings for the immediate feelings.
Well,
let's hit
the big one.
All right, Deus Ex. Oh.
Well.
Let's go against your big one.
Let's go against my big one.
Yeah, Deus Ex. Wow. That's what you're
Deus Ex, okay, he's saying that because it's the one that I like the most. So we'll get into Skyrim next. Deus Ex, though, I love it. Very immersive game. I love the artwork and everything. And I really feel, though, it's so immersive because we're almost there as society.
Yeah,
we almost
close.
Live in the Deus Ex world.
Yeah. I know Deus Ex.
We just need more things tinted in gold.
Human Revolution had such a pleasant aesthetic.
I'm specifically speaking to Human Revolution.
Now, the original Deus Ex and the Invisible War. Invisible War was hard. That was really, really hard. That was one of those things that, like, it's just like those Fear spinoff games. We don't really consider that game. That was a game that we
Extraction Point?
We didn't even add Perseus Mandate. We didn't even add Fear to this list, but I guess it goes up there, too.
Well, Fear was an immersive game just because it scared the crap out of you.
Right.
If you weren't scared, you're lying.
And that's a whole other type of immersion. We'll talk about that lion scared immersion later.
Yeah, so, yeah, Deus Ex, everything about it, I love it. And you play the game, you really get lost in it.
It was a living, breathing future Detroit.
Right. And I feel like it's because it's so close to what exists now.
Right.
It's not a stretch.
I don't feel... As soon as
Google Glass comes out, we're going to be like 75% of the way there.
So from a character standpoint, you know, the characters were believable. You knew that there was... And you experience this in real life. You know somebody's shifty in front of you. You know that how they're acting, but you can't put your finger on it.
Right.
You did that in the game, and it was believable, and it felt that way.
And something else that I'd like to bring up that makes the game so immersive is things you do have consequences.
Right.
Like the simplest of things. For example,
not
choosing is a choice.
Right.
Also, like the beginning of the game, one fun thing to do is run into the office and go into the women's restroom.
Right. Okay.
Because you're a man. And then when you have to go see, what was his name? The tech guy.
Pritchard.
Pritchard. When you have to go see Pritchard, he's been watching you on the video and he just brings up the fact that, but I forgot, you kind of Inspector Gadgeted the whole thing after the beginning where they blow you apart.
Right. So he knows.
He's like, yeah, you've gone through a lot of changes. The gender swap wasn't one of them.
Right.
Stay out of the women's restroom. Just little things like that.
Speaking of immersion and changes, Mass Effect. Again, we didn't put this on the list,
Mass Effect. That whole world that they built, that universe.
The entire Mass Effect universe is one giant branching story. Now, you know, say what you will about the end of Mass Effect 3. Let's ignore that for now. Mass Effect 1 all the way through to the end of Mass Effect 3. That journey is one of the best, one of the most immersive gameplay experiences I've ever had.
I don't think there's been a game where I cared about the characters as much as I did in Mass Effect.
Well, I made every decision for that character. It might as well have been me, Space Shepherd Gil.
Space Shepherd Gil.
MG Shepherd.
But I mean, just every character, like Garrus and all of them.
Oh, yeah.
I was really drawn to Garrus. He's a bro.
I felt like every character was meticulously built to be realistic, and not every character was perfect. Aren't perfect.
Miranda was.
Well,
she thought she was.
In fact, that's a quote. That's a quote. Yeah, like I was engineered to be perfect, but
soccer ball boob.
So let's kind of shift a little bit. Let's talk about open worldness. Let's talk about games like Skyrim
the one that or I brought up.
Fallout.
Skyrim, Fallout. Series. Oh, look, we're talking about Bethesda.
Stalker. Entire Stalker, yeah. Call of Pripyat, and Chernobyl.
Shadow of Chernobyl.
They're open world. They're very, very large. I don't know. Or even games like Supreme Open World that's not even – you don't even have story, like Rust in the Forest. Those are new indie titles. Rust is from Gary Newman. Not Gary Newman. sorry. Maybe it is. I don't know. The guy that brought us Gary's mod – his team, and then the forest is from someone else. But those are indie titles, more or less, and they have this immersive open world attitude, just like Skyrim, which is.
Skyrim is a very immersive.
It's almost
too
big, you know. It's huge,
but you throw a few mods on it, and the game looks so good, you get drawn into it that way.
Right.
Like I could go run around the river, like the rivers, and just like look at the bears eating the fish.
You could. Well, and you know what?
In fact, I've done that.
They actually said that because we had a discussion before we started recording the show about Fallout 4. We looked it up, and the guys at Bethesda are even like, we don't know when Fallout 4 is coming out because Skyrim's doing so well. It's got all these mods to do all of this different stuff and new stuff, and that really is awesome.
I really want a new Fallout game, though.
Yeah, it is really nice. Fallout New Vegas was really awesome. Fallout 3, I feel, was better than New Vegas.
I think Fallout 3 was a better game overall.
It was the reemerging.
New Vegas was fun.
It was the reemerging, and Fallout New Vegas didn't seem like it improved on anything really.
Right. Oh well, that's what exactly.
It just felt like it could have easily been just DLC, like really big DLC, episodic content or whatever.
That's pretty much what it was.
You know, you're just a different person entirely. The Metro series, which is a severely linear game, but it's that grim, and I guess it's sort of like Stalker too. It's that grim, dark future, like, you know, post-apocalyptic. The world is just in chaos. They're actually coming out with Metro Redux, which is coming out later this year. I think actually maybe this month for PS4, Windows, PCs, and Xbox One. It's going to be Super HD of Last Light and 2033.
So those were all really immersive games.
Silent Hill.
that was the point of that game.
Yeah, Silent Hill.
To get you drawn into the universe and then scare the ever living crap out of you.
The soundtrack. Recently, I played a Dark Heresy RP game, and the guy had the GM had Silent Hill music, and it was awesome. Mm. Moving right along, Shadow of the Colossus. And this may be one of the
everything about that game.
This may be
to start with, you
have a brotherly companionship with your horse. Every monster that you kill, every colossus that you take down, there was no reason to do it other than you needed to save this person.
Right.
You don't know what the relationship is. You have no knowledge. There is no language.
You got to take down this giant titan for
there. There is just the goal. And there's a sadness, you know, I feel. And maybe I'm feeling about it too much. But sadness when you take it down.
Exactly.
That's fantastic if you own a PS3.
You took down this majestic giant creature.
Right.
While it was awesome.
Was it necessary?
Was it really necessary?
What do you get out of it? And then there's newer games like Dishonored, Amnesia, Outlast, that are scary or not scary.
And I feel like a lot of those can rely solely on their graphics to draw you in.
Right.
That's a big thing right now because graphics are just so pretty. It's easy to get an immersion like that. But it really, when the story hits you and draws you in, you forget that you're sitting at your computer. That's when it hits you.
We're going to end the segment out with the Swapper. Now, you were saying you haven't started playing this.
I have not.
I recommend playing it. It is a beautiful platformer esque. You question, or you should question when you play it, what is life and what is ethical, and you know, things like that. And when games, we didn't even put this on there, but Gone Home is really immersive. We're gonna talk about that in a second, I guess. But Swapper, really good. Gone Home. Because we're running out of time.
I know, not
is,
the time.
Is fantastic. You could beat the game in a matter of minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, if you knew exactly what to do. But it's not about beating the game. It's about going home. It's about the journey. And it was big last year. It's worth a playthrough. It's worth a $5, $10, $20 experience, even for the measly two-hour experience that you have. We're going to go ahead.
Oh, I did buy it. I bought it on Steam Summer Sale. Give me Swapper, that is.
Oh, okay. We're going to go ahead and throw in Power User by MC Frontalot. We're going to come back and end the show out. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was Power User by MC Frontalot. Listen, we're out of time, but before we go, Bear, what's that website?
SEXPpoints.com. Always double tap that P.
Also check us out on Facebook.com/ExperiencePoints, YouTube.com/TheEXPPoints channel, Twitter @EXP_points, as well as Google+. We're going to figure that out later. But thank you for listening. We're going to be back next week from, I guess, from 9 to 10 p.m. next week. Hopefully you'll have a PS Vita. Will you be here next week?
I'm trying to. I'll be cutting it close. I may be here next week for you guys. I will try my hardest.
If he's not, he's not, but that's fine. In the meantime, check us out on Steam. We got a Steam gaming group up that's the Experience Points Gaming. If you check that out and you like it and you get invited to, invite yourself and add the group, you'll have access to a ton of dedicated servers. Anytime you're playing Counter-Strike, Team Fortress 2, Garry's Mod in three separate game modes. That's Sandbox Mode, Cinema Mode, and what was it? Murder. Yeah, the Murder Mode.
Murder Mode.
If you go and play those, look for the Experience Points servers. Join, say hello. Maybe you'll see Red Bear or MG. Those are there. We also have a Space Engineers server up, but you have to join the group in order to get in the Space Engineers server.
So just do it already. So what are you waiting for?
We are going to leave you with an awesome song. This is from the Protomans, The Will of Ones. Their 2013 remix.
Oh, it's such a good one.
Or re-recording. Again, they're on the Vans Warped Tour.
Why am I not on Vans Warped Tour this year?
Because
so much nerd
you have a job.
Happened.
You have a job.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, this is The Will of One by the Protomen. You've been listening to Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.